Hello and welcome to another edition of the Major League Eating Podcast. I am Mike Antolini. Very special show today. Probably going to be part one of a maybe two, three, maybe even four-part series. We'll get to that in just a moment. Before we do, let me remind you where to get all your Major League Eating news. Stay linked into ifoce.com. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/eatfast. And then we are on Twitter at Eating Contest. So twitter.com/eatingcontest. Follow us and get all results, news, and Major League Eating info. Having said that, very exciting. You know, Major League Eating's original competitive eating blogger, the man they call Beautiful Brian. Brian Sykin is here. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Pleasure. It's an honor to be here, man.
You know, we're 10 months into this MLE podcast. You were probably wondering when your phone was going to ring, but regardless, here we are.
Yeah, I was. I could wait forever, Mike. And, you know, it's just like I said, it's an honor to be here.
So for those maybe new to competitive eating, the Major League Eating world, you know, who is Beautiful Brian? Just let's get it out there. Let's start from the top. How did you get into this, and how did Beautiful Brian create himself?
Well, I actually was I was a big eater when I was younger, and I always thought that I could out-eat everyone or anyone. And how I actually got started in the sport was, it was almost like a fluke. My sister, she saw a big sign in the Nathan's restaurant in her area, and it said hot dog eating contest. And, you know, considering my huge appetite, I thought I would, like, wipe the floor with the competition. And then when I arrived, it looked like I stumbled upon a big birthday party with balloons, music, dancing. And there was this huge Neanderthal of a man named Peter Lynn Jr. He was walking around the restaurant talking smack about, you know, how he's going to annihilate anyone that thinks they could eat more hot dogs than he can. And meanwhile, before the contest starts, he's ordering Nathan's French fries and hot dogs and stuff like that. And even not knowing anything about competitive eating at the time, I was saying to myself, this guy's going to fill himself up, and he's not going to be able to compete in this contest. So that's good. That's a plus right there for me. And then I later found out that, you know, they were making this big bash, and I found out they were using this as sort of a theme for a movie called Red, White, and Yellow, a competitive eating story about Ed Crotchy. And then I saw George Shea, and he was like, this guy was really into this stuff. I was like, wow. I mean, I've never seen, is this a promoter or is this just a hot dog eating contest? And anyway, you know, to make a long story short, I think I ate 8 hot dogs, got crushed by the competition, and I said, you know what, this is cool, but I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Just have fun for, had a free meal, got my behind kicked, and that was the end of that. And then as I'm leaving, George Shea, he stops me and says, ask if he could keep in touch with me, you know, if anything ever comes up in the future.
Yeah.
And at that point, I realized that this guy is a promoter, and they were basically looking for eating enthusiasts. And for the next 3 or 4 consecutive years, I was competing in these Nathan's hot dog eating contests, and that was it. I mean, that was like, I labeled that the pre-IFOCE years, which focused basically only on Nathan's qualifiers in the month of June. And then when they finally got the IFOCE into full gear, they sent me a contract along with an invitation to the Glutton Bowl. And I was like, wow, you know, this is like super fantastic news. I had, you know, I had no idea that this was what they were evolving this situation into. And, you know, then I had some kind of dispute with the Fox Network, and I went from invited to uninvited to the Glutton Bowl.
Well, what was the dispute? Take us to the dispute. This could be interesting.
Well, yeah. What happened was the Fox, I got a call from George, and he said to me, listen, we're doing this Glutton Bowl thing. It's going to be awesome. I don't know you too that well, Brian, but I definitely want you in this. And I'm saying to myself, is he sure he has the right guy? Because I'm not the greatest eater in the world. But then I had realized that they were looking for, like, new blood, new talent, because they were just getting this IFOC thing into gear. And I says to myself, okay, this sounds cool. I'm gonna give it a shot. And then the next thing you know, I get a call from Fox, And he said, yeah, Brian, we want you on the show, blah, 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 you know, come down and, you know, send. And then they said, well, can you, and then I gave him my stats. And they said, well, how many hot dogs can you eat? I said, well, I could eat about 12, 13. Oh, that's all? And I was like, okay, you know, what does that mean? So, well, you know what? I have a better idea, Brian. Why don't you send us a video of your, you know, of your hot dog prowess and, you know, your abilities and whatever, and then we'll take it from there. And then when I hung up the phone, I says, I don't know, man, doesn't sound too good. So I made the video, sent it out, certified mail, return receipt, whatever. They got it, and I don't know what happened, but I never heard from Fox, and I never heard from, you know, Rich and George, and I know they felt bad about this. You know, I moved on, I forgot.
When did BeautifulBrian.com come into existence? When did you kind of turn into part eater, part blogger?
Okay, well, when I created the website BeautifulBrian.com, I was like, I was sort of at a crossroads in my career and not knowing whether or not I should continue competing in the sport after, like, this poor showing I had at a Russian Pelmeni contest in New York City in September 2003. I basically just, you know, I said to myself, I had to figure out my self-worth. What do I have left? What can I contribute as an eater or as a viable commodity to the organization? So as I left, I said, you know, let me think about what can I create? So my intent was to create a vehicle of competitive eating news and information so that the eating community was kept abreast of what was happening on the circuit. And eventually that turned into a competitive eating website. And my intention was to, like I said, create a vehicle of competitive eating news and info so that the eating community was kept abreast of what was happening on the circuit. But what started out as a basic news source for fans of the sport evolved into, you know, dry wit, outspoken spontaneity, and a lot of controversy.
So how did this controversy, is it affecting you at the table? I mean, I'm guessing people are mad at you?
Yeah, well, it was like, you know, there were certain aspects of the site evolved into a gossip column, which was deemed by some as the page six of the sport. They called it the bits and pieces. And some of that editorial caused rifts between myself and other readers where it got to the point where I would get emails from anonymous sources like, how about if I break you into bits and pieces, you know? And yeah, it was getting kind of tense. And I remember George Shea once referred to my site as a virtual assault weapon, but it was basically, you know, it was in jest. As far as camaraderie amongst the eaters with the website, it actually got me a lot closer to the people in the sport more than anything else. They knew what I was all about. They knew what I was trying to do. I kept telling everybody, you know, just chill out. It's not personal. It's just, you know, it's just my crazy, candid way of humor, the Robert Johnson, Howard Stern, you know, tell it like it is stuff. And from that point, after about, I'd say, 2 years, I came up with the idea of expanding the site with the first ever, you know, competitive eating talk show, Beautiful Brian's Corner, which sometimes included in-studio guests. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, Mike, it became like a virtual overnight sensation. It gave me the exposure I sorely needed as like a media personality. I even designed it where one of the episodes would go head-to-head in the ratings with The Sopranos.
Who won? Who won that one?
I think The Sopranos won that one. I had Charles Hardy on my show.
You probably need a recount.
And considering he was the godfather, you know, it sort of blended in with The Sopranos that evening. But, you know, The Sopranos wins hands down. So,
Maybe next time.
But, you know, there are other copycat blogs out there that feel like they have the right to blatantly intrude into my territory without cutting me a piece of the pie, so to speak.
Well, how do you handle that? You know, competitors onto the scene, try to probably steal your scoops.
Yeah, well, they've succeeded in actually doing that, but it's never stopped me. I mean, you know, I'll continue to report the news on my, you know, I could get all pissed off and, you know, foam at the mouth and say, hey, where is this one coming from, blah, blah, blah. But, there's one site that actually did, at for a number of years cut me a piece of the pie, but for some reason they decided to cut me out. And I said to myself, you know what, there's only really two blog websites out there, or official websites that's going to report the news the way it should be, and that's IFOC.com and BeautifulBrian.com. And I'm going to continue to report the news in my usual candid fashion, regardless of how many loyal followers decided to drop out. So I would hope that, like, somewhere down the line, people will appreciate what I've tried to accomplish in the past 7 years and see me for more than just some opinionated loudmouth that takes pride in bashing people.
No, absolutely. So, in speaking of bashing people, and I kind of touched on this, you touched on the camaraderie. It makes you a little closer. BeautifulBrian.com makes you a little closer to the eaters. But, you know, over the years, there have to be rivalries out there. You know, you and Crazy Kevin, Lipsitz, you know, Pickles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, talk to us about some of that.
Well, if I may stray off that question just a slight bit, Mike, to date, the greatest existing rivalry that I think has created the most fanfare was, the Kira Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut in Hot Dogs. I don't think it'd get any more exciting than that. You know,
yeah, probably true.
You know, Joey capturing the title in 2007 was 66, then successfully defending the following year in a five hot dog eat off. And then setting the world record in 2009 was 69. But looking back, I think the biggest competitive eating rivalry prior to that had to be the one between myself and Crazy Kevin. And it started out like really weird. He invited me to a birthday party, a surprise birthday bash for his wife on a boat. And I had posted some candid shots of his wife's elderly uncle on my website. And he got all bent out of shape. What happened was he actually had relatives from his birthday party complaining about him and why he's late. I mean, you know, for his wife's own birthday party. And I was like saying, well, you know what, let me play up on this, and I'm sure Kevin will get a laugh. It turned out to be like
all a big joke.
Just the opposite, man. You know, he got totally bent out of shape. It led to some words of venom that carried on to the competitive eating field. It was probably bad judgment on my part to exploit his wife's party on the site, knowing my sense of humor, but he really took offense, man, and it's like, you know, threatened me with legal action. And I had a brief employment stint with the criminal justice system, so I knew that he didn't have a leg to stand on. And there was a lot of tension involved. And
so take us to the table now. So you guys, what's the first competition you remember there being some venom in the air?
This led to the escrow contest. That was really intense because I think it was I looked at it as a setup because I knew that, you know, it was something that I wasn't good at. I could not eat escrow, and it was just like really incredible. See, the thing is, George and Rich, they caught wind to this Kevin Bryan rivalry thing, and they thought it would make for a huge publicity stunt to play this up. And like I said, the next thing you know, I'm eating escrow in a title rally, and then going one-on-one with him and Pickles the following year. It was at the Grilled Cheese Finals in New York City. And that one came down to the wire, which I was beating him handily until the ref made a hasty split decision call and decided to DQ me because there were a few pickle remains squirted out of my nostrils.
Oh, there was also a burp involved, was there not?
And a burp, right, you got it. And I consider that a bogus call to this day. So
in your mind, you won that competition. You should have won that competition.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I didn't even know that they were doing this. I got a call from, I think it was Georgia Rich, the day before, and they said, we're going to be doing pickled tomatoes. I said, okay, that's cool. And it's, you know, it's just an exhibition, don't worry. And then I get there, and I say, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, mate, they got pickles on the table, and I wasn't prepared for this. But, hey, you know, that's life. You know, sometimes you got to, spontaneity is going to hit you at the most inopportune time. And I had to come through in some way and show my stuff. And, you know, if you are a great champion, you're going to prove that, you know,
That's right. Regardless of whether it's pickled tomatoes or pickled cucumbers.
Right. But as far as, I don't know if you want to go into modern day rivalries aside from myself and Kevin, but I think a few have been established as far as like Sonya and Juliet, even though Sonya's margin of victory over Juliet is in the 30% range. And it remains to be seen if Juliet could ever beat Sonya, but, you know, she's getting close. And then you got Eric the Red and Gravy Brown. And most recently, you got Brian Subich and U.S. Mail. You know, but the question being is, how far can they take it publicity-wise? You know, will it create enough fanfare to make it seem plausible? I know with rivalries with myself and Kevin, that seemed to work.
Really, really resonated.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of etched in the stones of the competitive eating...
lore.
Kind of competitive eating Bible.
So, I guess I don't want to rub anything in here, but no longer the pickle champ. You went out in a very graceful way by sending your Carnegie Deli pickle bib sign down to Pompano Park, Florida, to be graced with the new pickle champ, who was eventually Pat Bertoletti. You know, was it tough? Was it tough seeing, you know, kind of seeing the torch pass there?
Well, it was like the defining moment in my career is winning the Carnegie Deli Pickle title. It's actually called the New York City title. And, you know, and then even more gratifying was unifying that title in 2004 with going up against Crazy Kevin and unifying it with the IFOC, so that made it I solidified it at that point. And I guess I kept it for an indefinite period of time, which I thought was a kind gesture on the IFOC part as well. And then to see all of a sudden you got all the great eaters coming in, like Pat Bertoletti and Paul Hunt and Bob Shout, and I says, you know, I know that record's going to be, that 2.7 pounds in 6 minutes is going to be broken. And they did it, and Pat did it. Pat doubled it.
Yeah, close to 6 pounds.
Great job by Pat, I have to admit. He really set the stage for, you know, the new blood, the new, I always call the new eaters of the sport, I compare that to the British invasion of the Beatles over Elvis. You know, they just basically wiped the floor with all the old competition. The old school leaders had to take a back seat, and they've come through in a big way. And as far as the title itself, I'm going to come back and try to defend it. And I don't know if I could beat Pat, but if by some miracle I'm able to, you know, come through, that's probably going to be the greatest pickle rivalry.
You're right, and it will also be a huge major league eating story. So am I getting word next year you're going to have your sights set on pickles? You're going to get back at the table, kind of let Pat have his title maybe for a year, and then kind of come out of nowhere and take back what you feel is rightfully yours?
Like Muhammad Ali said, I shall return. And it's like a lone lease thing with Pat Bertoletti. I'm loaning my title to him for a year.
I like it. We'll make sure Pat brings back the Carnegie Deli apron/bib so that, you know, maybe he can sign it and then give it back to you.
Oh yeah, that would be. But you know what? I gotta give kudos to Pat because he wore my Carnegie Deli pickle bib as a token gesture to the past champ, and I do appreciate that. And also one after Bob Schaff for wearing the beautiful Brian hat.
You're right. You were all over that table.
That really makes me feel, that really warms the heart. It's like, you know, having an old champ, you know, showing the respect and then passing the torch.
You're right. Well, Brian, this is what I'm proposing. I want to hear your thoughts. You know, we like to keep these podcasts, you know, relatively short, kind of quick hits, let people listen to them over their morning coffee. But
I hope I didn't ramble on too much.
I don't think so at all. And to that, actually, to the contrary, I actually want to see if you'd be willing to maybe come back, maybe in a couple more times, talk about some stories. I think there's a lot more Beautiful Brian we can get into, a lot more that the fans want to know about Beautiful Brian, see what's been going on, not only now, but go back into the past, maybe we'll talk about the Larry Hoff stories, you know, things in the past, things that... Yeah, things that people... Exactly. So I'm going
to
ask...
We'll have to talk about the rankings and, you know, the Elvis stuff and...
Let's do this then. Why don't we do next... why don't we say next week, we'll come... You'll come back on, we'll talk about the rankings, you know, let everybody kind of ingest them for another week. Talk about the rankings, maybe get into some Elvis, some of your media, your previous media stuff like the Hoff Show and things like that. And we'll
early days with the IFLC,
exactly.
You know, 60 years and stuff. That'll be cool.
Yeah. So why don't we do that? We'll let everybody kind of simmer on this, get their taste buds wet, and then we'll get after it again. Would you do that?
Awesome, Mike. You got my you have my undivided attention without question. Like I said, honor to be on your show and. We have like this one-on-one camaraderie, which is awesome.
It's great stuff. So, having said that, thanks so much for coming on today. We'll say to be continued on this, and we'll hit you back next week.
Hey, great, man. It was great speaking with you.
Thanks, Ryan. Take it easy.
Bye-bye. Okay.